760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Atlanta, Georgia, and beyond. Greater Atlanta, I'm Josh Harris with The Morning Quest Dream Team. Allison DeLuel and Alessandra.
Good morning.
Subbing in for Dave at the boards. We do have Dave remote. Because
I am
that
remote.
Yes.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Chiming in telepathically from Buford, Georgia.
I'm just hoping this dream team doesn't turn into a nightmare.
It will not. I know it won't.
The best way to keep the train on the tracks is with some prayer. So, Allison, can you tee us off?
I sure will. And with Christmas coming up soon, I have a prayer for hope and joy in the Christmas season. And it's a scriptural one. So the scripture verse we're going to be pondering is Romans 15, verse 13, which is, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
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 I have more.
You have more?
I have more. That was a scripture verse. So Okay. Let's, God of all hope, as we celebrate the birth of your Son, Jesus, we pray that you would fill our hearts with joy and peace. May this Christmas season remind us of the hope we have in Christ, and may we experience the overflowing joy that comes from knowing him. As we trust in you, help us to shine your light to others, offering the gift of hope to those in need. May your Holy Spirit empower us to live with a joyful heart and a hopeful spirit. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
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 I had to add that in because I know there are many people out there that are having a rough time. This is a hard time for a lot of people. You know, it's not as joyful. So praying for hope and for joy and knowing the Lord where he can give them that peace that surpasses all understanding.
Amen. Amen to that. And I think another thing that helps us find joy are some good jokes. And I hear we've got a resident comic today. It's not me.
He's not a resident comic. He's a professional comic or comedian.
I have my dad shorts on. Okay. I've got my sandals with the black socks on.
Dave, okay. That picture is hilarious, isn't it? Imagining that.
You got the dad joke starter kit on, is what you're saying.
I do. So I want, coming into Christmas here, Christmas is starts on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know what the difference is between the regular alphabet and the Christmas alphabet?
Now what?
The Christmas alphabet has no L. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Hold on. And the Christmas alphabet has no L.
There we go.
Much better.
He'll be here all week, people. Well, after that joke, I'm not sure. But okay.
Well, and in the Christmas season, I like a good Eggs Benedict. Have you ever had Eggs Benedict?
Oh, I love Eggs Benedict.
Yeah. If you want a good Eggs Benedict, you've got to go to Nome, Alaska. Because everybody knows there's no place like Nome for the Hollandaise.
That one was so cringe, it actually hit.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm spent.
Oh, man. If y'all are around the office, Dave is just dealing these jokes out like he is he's at a blackjack table all day long. I mean, I'm surprised he has a Rolodex of these things. If people memorize scripture like you memorize dad jokes, it would be heaven on earth. I'm confident.
Yeah, I wish
that.
I could remember scripture like that too.
The new year,
it would be much more useful for me. Yes.
No, but Dave, you are such a delight to work with. I mean, yeah.
Well, thank you.
Oh my gosh.
So it's that second one did get me, and every day, I mean, sometimes Dave's drop stuff, and I'm like, I'm gonna steal that from my routine. That is pretty kind of brilliant. He said RFK is going to ban shredded cheese because he wants to make America great again. That one was pretty slick. I'm proud. I'm impressed. Go ahead, Dave. Sorry.
I was just going to say because he wants to make America great again. had to get that in there. Sorry.
is that joke cheesy? Come on, give me the drum roll after that. Thanks. You see what I'm saying?
I'm operating remotely here, so I've got one screen, but there you go.
I don't know how many listeners we've lost in the past 2 minutes, but I'm sure it's a land speed record. Anyway.
I'm sure when Marconi invented radio, he was thinking of this very moment right
exactly.
here.
Exactly. Man, yeah, hit dad jokes across the greater Atlanta area. Speaking of which, I had this comedian reach out to me last night. I'm doing a show tonight. It's not like a big deal show, but I am working. So if you're a comedian and you really want to stay sharp, in between bigger gigs, you need to, Dave, as you know, work on material at, you know, lower stakes venues, things like that. And there is a
open mics.
And there's a clean open mic in Bethlehem, Georgia, actually.
Is that for tonight?
Really? Mm-hmm.
In Bethlehem.
Now I get it.
Oh, wow.
That's not a joke. In Bethlehem, it's pretty big. It's a hike. But I would rather do a very long drive to go to a clean comedy show than like a dirty show and it's around the corner. It's better for my spirit. Anyway, this comic sends me a message on social media last night and was like, hey, what if we do the gag from Charlie Brown where I'm on stage and I'm doing my bit and then I just kind of break down and I say, does anybody know the meaning of Christmas? And he sent me the clip and I couldn't believe this was on national television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Linus comes up and reads Luke like 8-14, I think. And so say a prayer. That might go down tonight. I was like, you want me to just go on stage and and just drop this? I mean, kudos to this guy if he's serious.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I might have some scripture to memorize. So hopefully
we'll be praying for you. But I know if anybody can do it, it's you.
Yeah, and that was back in the 60s, I believe, when Charlie Brown Christmas first came on. It was on CBS, I think.
Mm.
And that was a very different time than today.
Yeah.
We'll just leave it at that.
I mean, and it was so on the nose. I was very impressed when I saw it. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got a great show coming up ahead of us today. Katie Warner, parishioner at St. Catherine of Siena in Kennesaw, Georgia. She's going to be talking to us about her new book, My True Love Gave to Me, a Children's Catechism for the 12 Days of Christmas. Father Vincent Sullivan's going to be here reflecting on this upcoming Sunday gospel reflection, with reflection of this amazing gospel coming up. Chuck Persner is going to be back talking about St. Blaise. That's one of my favorite saints. And also Kathleen Lindemann, Director of Adult Evangelization at St. Michael the Archangel, will be talking to us today about finding peace in the chaos during this holiday season.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Katie Warner, parishioner at St. Catherine of Siena in Kennesaw, Georgia. She is a Catholic wife, homeschooling mom, writer, and speaker. She helps equip families with practical strategies and creative resources to live a vibrant, faith-filled life together. Welcome to The Quest, Katie.
Thank you so much for having me on the show today. It's great to be with you.
You have a new book out. It's called My True Love Gave to Me, a Catechism of the 12 Days of Christmas, and I just had to have you on, so we are thrilled to learn more about this. So, Katie, there are some history behind this book. Can you tell us what inspired the idea for My True Love Gave to Me?
Absolutely. So as your listeners know, many centuries ago, there was fierce persecution of Catholics in England. And some call it a legend, others a rumor, that during this time, Catholics used the tune of the old French song, The 12 Days of Christmas, to communicate a sort of catechetical code to teach children the tenets of the faith in secret. Now, this book isn't meant to debate the historicity of it all, but we know that song remains a powerful catechetical tool, and numbers have always held a special significance in scripture and tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And Christians have often throughout history used or baptized legends, secular songs, and traditions to bring the gospel into the corners of every aspect of life. So My True Love Gave to Me is meant to help convey the gifts of the faith through the joy and memory of song, and also through the absolutely stunning art that brings these numeric symbols to life. Honestly, it's a book that I really wanted for myself and my own children, and one that I'm really excited to use and sing and learn along with my kids this Christmas season.
Yeah, I'm looking at the artwork. It is absolutely spectacular. Just the cover makes you want to dive right in. And I'd love to know, can you share a little bit more about the number symbols? Can you give us examples?
Yeah, absolutely, Josh. The first verse of the book goes like this. I'm going to spare you all my singing voice and just say it. But on the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me my Savior who died on Calvary. And then you work your way through each of the symbols for the 12 days of Christmas. So 4 gospel writers, 7 sacraments, 10 commandments. You get the idea, and I won't give away all the rhymes or symbols because they're really fun and catchy to sing. But if you've studied scripture and the faith for some time, you'll likely be able to identify many of them on your own. And then even still, in the back of the book, there's a whole host of other number symbols that don't fit into the song that are really cool to learn about. And they kind of give you the chance to hunt and find those symbols in the Bible and in church teaching, from the 9 choirs of angels to the number 40 as a symbol of testing and trial. Lots of really neat gems hidden in these numbers, reminding us that God is not random, but amazingly orderly and purposeful in his works and creation.
Oh, that's so beautiful. So, Katie, can you share a little about the artwork in this book and what makes it unique? Because it is absolutely stunning.
Yeah, thank you, Allison. I know Josh mentioned that too, and with the cover, it does really draw you in. You know, when I thought about the concept for this book, I knew there was one artist that I had to convince to do it with me. Elizabeth Velasco is an incredibly talented Catholic sacred artist and iconographer, and she brings all of that amazing artistic background she has into each page of the book. And everything down to the borders around the illustrations have meaning. And one of my favorite parts of the book are Liz's notes in the back that help readers unpack all of the rich theological detail in the artwork. Now, Liz often does large-scale murals and icons for churches and institutions, so it's really such a treasure that her work is available in a children's book form so that so many of us can enjoy it just in our laps. I think all of us adults can agree that a really great children's book is especially delightful when the adults enjoy it just as much as the children do.
Yes.
I was listening to one of Liz's interviews about the book the other day, and she also noted that she intentionally didn't make the art overly Christmassy. So there's no Santas or stockings. It really is a compilation and celebration of various styles of sacred art. And the artwork really does make you want to linger on each page of the book, and also makes it a resource that a lot of readers are telling us is something that they can use year round and not only during the Christmas season, which is really neat to hear.
That is so great.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I'd love to talk about living the faith, especially. And as you talked about it, she didn't deliberately, telegraph the whole Christmas artistic vibe, which I think is great because it really just has such a mature tint to it, especially looking at some of her original works. It's just amazing. God was showing off when he paired you two together. But I'd love to know more about living the faith during this Christmas season. What are some ways Catholic families can live the Christmas season more meaningfully at home together?
That is such a great question, because we all know it's pretty easy to celebrate Christmas Day, right? But
yes.
Most everybody after that is, busy putting away the tree. And we as Catholics know that we're just getting started and trying to continue celebrating the season every single day of Christmas time. And so thankfully, there's really simple things we can do as families to keep celebrating the season beyond Christmas Day, which also ends up being a powerful witness to even our neighbors during the Christmas season. So one of those ways that we're talking about today is singing and learning about the 12 days of Christmas. We can also just keep our decorations up throughout the Christmas season. Wish each other Merry Christmas every day. That one's so simple, but how many of us forget to actually wish even our family members Merry Christmas after the 25th?
Yes.
Also, making your Christmas cookies or your neighbor treats during the Christmas season instead of Advent, singing carols, and then spreading gifts out throughout the season. You don't have to open all of them on Christmas Day. My kids love that they get a wrapped book under the tree each day of the 12 days of Christmas, and it helps make that gifting season last longer and remind them that we're still celebrating Christ's birthday. And then also another really simple and fun one is just having your wise men travel around the house in search of Jesus in the manger until the Epiphany. My kids love that one as well, and very easy to do for anybody.
Oh, those are wonderful activities that we can do with our families. Wow. Well, Katie, where can people buy your Christmas book or check out your other library of children's titles?
Yeah, absolutely. So we actually just sold out of the book at Tan Book. So if you want a copy, don't wait and make sure you grab one on Amazon or at your local Catholic bookstore. I'm not sure if the Catholic shop has it, but you could give them a call. There's still a few copies available on Amazon. And then if you want to see all of our collection of books, this is our 16th children's title. You can also go to our children's book website, firstfaithtreasury.com.
Katie Warner, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me on the show again. It was great to be with you guys.
Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Coming up at 1 this afternoon on AM 1160, The Quest. Join me for The Doctor Is In. But now, it's back to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It is 8:18.
Father Vincent, priest in residence at St. Michael the Archangel in Woodstock, Georgia, is going to be reflecting on this upcoming Sunday's Gospel. So welcome back, Father.
Thank you so much. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
This is Luke chapter 1. Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
And of course, it's so appropriate for the fourth Sunday on the brink of Nativity and Christmas, giving and receiving. Mary, in hearing this from her cousin Elizabeth, broke out into what is called the Magnificat.
Mm-hmm.
This is a hymn proclaiming to God an exaltation of humbly receiving God's grace. And it's interesting how her obedience to God's grace is the very nature of her son Jesus. It comes from humility. And so this lady, three times blessed in the scriptures, we hear that blessed Mary, we call her. In the gospel, my soul rejoices in God my Savior. My spirit looks upon his lowly servant. And this exaltation of the humble, he humbles the exalted. Mary is beautifully done with Elizabeth here. John will lead Israel's yearnings to their highest degree of expectancy.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we've been waiting for in Advent season 2. The life of God, the hope of men and women meet. Small wonder that such glorious things should be said and done. From the moment of Jesus' conception, a river of life has been begun to flow irresistibly, and it will soon water the entire face of the earth.
Mm.
So we breathe the same gospel fragrance today whenever Christians follow the example of Mary and Elizabeth, telling each other in simplicity of heart how God is present in their lives.
Yes.
When they celebrate with thanksgiving the marvels which the Lord has worked for them. Each time, it is truly the Church of Jesus Christ that is born amongst us in the joyful stirring of the Holy Spirit. At Takeaway, we receive the mind of Christ in the first half of the Mass in the inspired sacred readings. We receive the body of Christ in the second half of the Mass in Holy Communion.
Mm-hmm.
Friends share their minds with each other. Parents and spouses, in different ways, give their bodies as well. We share our minds with him, of course, big time, in a prayer commitment. So may this Christmas season be so fruitful in the giving and the receiving, that very balance of life, with the Advent season ascending to the Incarnation, and in between the ordinary time, the Lenten season is a descent into Golgotha and redemption.
Mm.
So let's live this balance.
Amen, Father. It's so powerful what you said. It also shows the Lord gave his body up for us, but Mary gave up her body for the Lord.
Yes, she did.
There is just this theme of the joy of the unborn, the fact that John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb leaps for joy at the presence of Christ, and really spotlighting the sanctity of life and the recognition of Christ from the womb, and the fact that Mary is the first Eucharistic tabernacle on earth.
Indeed. And Josh, I'm pleased you highlighted that, because the second reading from Hebrews 10 is showing the essential contrast between the two covenants, the two testaments, the old and the new, two collections of books. A testament is a covenant, remember, in written form, but a covenant, what is it exactly? It's a new relationship between people that is entered into freely. It's made by a promise and is based on trust and faith and fidelity in keeping the promise. Mm. The most complete and most important human covenant is marriage. Mm. And I say it's got to be full, free, faithful, fruitful, and forever.
Mm-hmm. How about that? That.
Yeah. That's why marriage is frequently used in sacred scripture as a symbol on the human level of the vertical covenant between God and man. So we ask ourselves, what does that fact say about the health and future of our society? Old covenants were the sacrifice of animals, especially lambs, in the temple as a symbolic sin offering. They could not take away sin, but that which they symbolized was Jesus' sacrifice of himself on the cross. That did take away sin. And he was the Lamb of God who actually takes away the sins of the world. So obedience, again, is motivated Jesus to do just that. I come to do your will. And not merely obeying the commandments, but above all, doing the thing he came to earth to do, establishing the new covenant by dying for us, taking away our sins, to undo the divorce between God and man.
Amen, Father. What would be a good takeaway for us today with these readings? What can we do?
Well, thy will be done. I love that in the Our Father. And then the doing is actually passionate. So I love the joy that comes out from this gospel. The joy of the Lord indeed is our strength. And if we can spread that joy, it was Pope Benedict that said the church is going to get smaller, but it's going to get more joyful. And that theme of rejoicing is full in Advent.
So, Father, I'd love to know, does this second reading relate to the theology of the body?
Josh, indeed it does. Look at the sentence from Hebrews 10. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. And in the gospel, we discover precisely where his body was prepared. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. So in the midst of a world that continually desecrates the female body, it is powerfully healing and redemptive to recognize that Christmas celebrates the ultimate glory of a woman's body. And Mary reveals what that ultimate glory is. God comes to us through the female body. As St. John Paul II affirms, it's a eulogy of motherhood, of femininity, of the female body in its typical expression of creative love. It's straight from the theology of the body, 21:5. As a woman goes, so does the world go, right? And the battle for human life, Satan's desecration of the same. Jesus shows us the true glory of the woman.
Amen, Father. That is so powerful.
Father Vincent, semi-retired priest who is involved in many different ministries within the Archdiocese of Atlanta, thank you again for this beautiful reflection.
And thank you. Very grateful for your production.
I'm Allison DeLowell, and now it's time for some news. The White House announced that President Joe Biden accepted an invitation from Pope Francis to meet next month in Rome to discuss the advancement of world peace. The president and the pope spoke over the phone on Thursday about their efforts to further peace around the world during the holiday season. In a statement, the White House said that the president thanked the pope for his continued advocacy to alleviate global suffering, including his work to advance human rights and protect religious freedoms. The Catholic News Agency reports that Biden last met with Pope Francis in June to talk about foreign policy in Israel, Gaza, and Ukraine, as well as climate change. The Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament in Hanceville, Alabama, marked its 25th anniversary on Thursday with a celebration that included a mass said by His Eminence Cardinal Burke and a healing service led by EWTN host Father Mitch Pacwa. The shrine and the new home for Mother Angelica's Our Lady of the Angels Monastery were officially opened and consecrated on December 19, 1999. Mother Angelica, who founded EWTN in 1981, had in mind to build a small farm chapel and a new monastery for her nuns in a rural area. Then, while visiting Colombia in 1996, she said she received a message from the Holy Infant asking her to build a temple, which Mother Angelica did, with the financial help of five separate anonymous families.
Hi, this is Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Coming up at 4 this afternoon on AM 1160 The Quest, I invite you to join me for Beacon of Truth. Now let's return to the Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It is 8:31.
Chuck Persner talking about a saint that I am aware of and super excited to hear about him. So welcome back, Chuck.
Thank you, Allison. Good morning, and good morning, Josh.
Good morning, my friend.
So we're getting closer and closer to Christmas here. And, you know, December 20th is actually National Ugly Sweater Day.
Interesting.
Yeah, this is a day that seems to be gaining more and more momentum. Do you have an ugly sweater, Allison?
I do not have an ugly sweater.
You don't? Josh, do you have an ugly sweater?
Probably a few, but I would love an ugly Christmas sweater.
Yeah, that's really what this is all about. You know, you see them in Walmart and some of the other places. And that's not to say that either of you are wearing ugly sweaters today. I didn't mean to imply that.
This conversation is
Natalie clad, I might say. With all of this in mind, we thought we would honor and discuss the patron saint of wool combers today. Josh, do you know what a wool comb is?
If I had an afro, is that something I would use to try to smooth it out?
Not exactly. Wasn't what I was thinking. That was not the answer we were looking for.
Okay.
Wrong.
So, you know,
my dad had an afro back in the day.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did. He had a big old...
The white guy afro?
Yeah, I guess, he was,
it was a popular look back then.
It was like a Jewish afro. I mean, he was 100% Jewish, had that and the Magnum P.I. mustache, and it was an interesting look.
That was the look back then, good thick head of hair, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, a wool comb, after a sheep is sheared, the wool can oftentimes be knotted or nappy or tangled. So the wool comber will use these iron combs to try and comb out all the kinks and the knots that the wool can then be used to make, well, presumably an ugly sweater, I guess.
Or maybe even a beautiful sweater.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Yeah, But, you know, details pertaining to the life of St. Blaise, who, by the way, is who we're talking about. I'm not even sure I mentioned that. He was the great bishop and martyr of our church. The details are indeed a bit sketchy. Historians are unsure of what year he was even born. But we do know that he was martyred in the year 316 in his episcopal city of Sebastia in Armenia. The Acts of St. Blaise, which essentially served as his biography, was written a good 400 years later, wherein Bishop Blaise was described, and as I quote, a holy and diligent man who worked tirelessly to encourage the spiritual and physical health of his people. Mm-hmm. The Edict of Toleration, which was penned in the year 311, finally granted freedom of worship in the Roman Empire, at least in theory. Persecution was still the norm in Armenia, however. So forced to flee to the back country, Blaise lived as a hermit in solitude and prayer. And then one day some wayward hunters stumbled upon him and captured him, hauled him off to prison. Aragalcas, who was the governor of Cappadocia at the time, tried to force him to worship and give sacrifice to pagan idols. Well, he flatly refused and was then in turn severely beaten. Upon refusing a second time, he was suspended from a high tree and his flesh was torn with iron combs and razor sharp rakes.
Wow.
And for this reason, in addition to being this patron saint of those who suffer with throat ailments, he is the patron saint of English wool combers. And that's where he gets that. He was ultimately beheaded in the year 316. Many of our listeners know it is customary to have one's throat blessed on the feast day of St. Blaise. And this is according to a legend of a mother who came to him with her young son who had a fishbone lodged in his throat. He was literally on the verge of death. The child coughed up the bone upon Bishop Blaise's command, and as such, St. Blaise is now among many other things that we know him for, the patron saint of those suffering with throat ailments.
Wow.
So, and I know you have an interesting story, Allison. You had alluded to the fact that he was a saint that you were familiar with.
Yeah. So, I went to Croatia on a pilgrimage years ago with a wonderful friend, my wonderful friend Roseanne and her family, and we went to Croatia. And Saint Blaise is also the patron saint of Dubrovnik.
All right.
And it was so amazing because we were in one of the little gift shops in Dubrovnik, and we saw statues of Saint Blaise, and we both bought one. And we said to ourselves, how awesome would it be if we could find a priest to bless these statues of St. Blaise?
Yeah.
As soon as we walk out the door of the gift shop, here comes a priest walking right by.
Yeah,
on his way
cool.
to, I think he's on his way to Mass. Wow. So how divine. So St. Blaise is absolutely one of those saints that I like to call on intercession for.
I mean, just the fact that he refused to renounce Christianity,
mm-hmm.
and he was subject to this brutal torture. I mean, scourged with iron combs,
yeah.
usually used to card wool, tearing at his flesh. And despite this suffering, he is steadfast in forgiving his persecutors.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they just get sick of it and behead him in 316.
Yeah, with great perseverance, he survived the torture until, as you said, Josh, they had to ultimately behead him.
Wow.
That seems to be a recurring theme with a lot of these early saints. They survive such ghastly torture. I mean, things that you think about would pretty much kill you on the spot.
Well, and you think of the faith they had, yeah. right? When somebody was about threatening them to kill them, they didn't budge.
Yeah.
Lord, give us that faith.
And his relics are venerated in several churches, but the primary shrine is in Meretia, Italy, where a basilica was built in his honor.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow, talking about embracing a mission that is outliving you, yeah. at least on earth.
Yeah.
Well, in many places, you know, because Dubrovnik and Croatia, they have a great devotion to him. So, I mean, it's not just one place.
Yeah, and when I was at seminary at most churches, if it's his feast day, you're getting the blessing of the throats.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
it's and amazing. Many parishes have that.
That tradition has lived on, absolutely. I'm able to go to daily Mass, and I have for the last number of years, and that's always going to happen at the end of the Mass, celebrating St. Blaise. I believe it's an optional memorial, but nonetheless, the priests always bring the candles, mm-hmm. and they offer that that blessing for all
nice.
Of us. There really aren't a lot of quotes, or no quotes, actually, directly attributed to St. Blaise. He lives on in legend, like many of the saints that we celebrate and remember. But I know, Allison, you have a few ideas and quotes that are pertinent to his way of life.
Absolutely, that capture his spirit and teachings. So the first one, be strong in faith and always trust in God. That is one. May God heal you from all your diseases. And again, with him being the patron saint of throat ailments,
yep.
that is pertinent. Another one, do not fear, for God is with you. And again, in the face of persecution.
Yes, he faced all of that. Place his trust in the divine physician and pray, hope, and don't worry.
Amen.
That's what St. Padre Pio tells us, right?
And I love this. The Christian faith is the cure of all ills.
So true.
In the Eastern Orthodox Church, he's very highly revered.
Mm-hmm.
He's commemorated on February 11th in the Julian calendar. And in Orthodox icons, St. Blaise is often depicted blessing animals, a reflection of his care for creation. His influence is global, but it kind of takes shape differently in different locations. So in Armenia, he's venerated, you know, there, and he's seen as like a local protector and intercessor,
mm-hmm.
Particularly for farmers. In France, he's invoked by wool combers for intercession, and parts of Germany. And huge devotions in Latin America and the Philippines through Spanish missionaries. So widely honored as a patron of health and healing amongst them.
Yes, and in the Roman Rite, he is celebrated on February 3rd. St. Blaise, Bishop and Martyr.
Pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
And sometimes Dave.
And
sometimes Dave. Calling remotely from prison. How are you, Dave?
Fine, thank you.
Hope they're treating you good in there.
Yeah, this is my community service, I guess. today's the last day we're going to be here all together. Next week, we're going to be doing, I guess, pre-recorded shows. So there's going to be some interviews and stuff in there that you've heard before, some you haven't heard, and just a mishmash of different things.
The best of the Morning Quest.
That's right. That's right. So anyway, but people are going to be traveling this time of year as well. So I thought, you know, maybe we'd share some travel tips or travel experiences that we've had. And I know one tip I've got is when my boys were little, we used to go, like, if it was cold out or it was raining or something, we would go like to a Walmart or to a hotel, and I'd let them run up and down the aisles to kind of burn off energy, you know?
Interesting.
You're that type of parent where you see the kids running around. You're like, where is the parent? Why are they doing this? No, I'm kidding, Dave.
Well, and you know how like hotels a lot of times will have staircases on each end of the hall. So I could stand on one end and my wife would stand on the other and we'd say, go run to mommy. And then they'd run down there. And you know,
when it comes to hotels, no, even when we were at Lake Oconee, my kids, there's something about when they see a long hallway, they just run, even in their ages. Hello, 13, you know, 13 and 15 and 11. So, yeah, no, they love running through the hallways of hotels.
Running. That's great. Burn the energy. Now, I have a tip. If you are traveling long distance together in a car, hey, how about pray together, right? Little family rosary. That's clutch because you don't want to, I mean, anyway, does anyone have this memory as a kid? I think I might have, is the family road trip. It's supposed to be a bonding experience. And what's the first thing dad says when he gets in the car? Okay, kids, we're going to play a special game. First one to talk loses. But we're going across country. Josh, you lost.
I remember those long trips. We used to go to upstate New York sometimes to visit, you know, my grandparents. And yeah, we would stop in Pennsylvania. And we had, it's funny, we had a Ford LTD, antique cream. And I was telling Josh yesterday, when we were driving, there were four of us girls in the back seat and my mom and dad were up front, but we were much smaller, right? We couldn't touch each other at the time, but it was still kind of crowded. So before the seatbelt laws were in effect, one of us were on the back where you have the slanted windshield in the back. One of us was laying up there by the speakers. Two of us were on the chairs. And then at the bottom of the feet, one of us was laying down there. So it was hilarious, just the adventures we went on.
That's interesting. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say the kid that was on the back, like at the back window, when dad would like slam the brakes on them, they go rolling down under the other kids, right?
You betcha. But my dad, he didn't slam it on that much. But hello, you never know on the highway what happens, right?
Yeah, but we had one of those station wagons, which I do not think someone got fired for the safety design on that thing because there was like the lookout seat. You know what I'm talking about? It was like
they you're looking back at the car in back of the trunk.
They didn't even have a seatbelt across the chest. It was just
the waist.
The waist. You're basically the lookout for someone who was about to rear end you. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I know. There are many cars that were like that.
Yeah, and so I think about that. The other thing that's interesting, I mean, I think it is so great to be intentional. Now they've just got all this technology to distract people, right? Mm-hmm. But when we were going on road trips as a kid, my parents would bring like a 10-inch TV with a VCR.
And are you serious?
Tie it in between, like, the two, like, front seats. And for anyone who doesn't know what a VCR is, it's when we played movies the size of a brick that we would insert into a, anyway, it was, but, they would just do, like, it was the only thing we could use to check out. Right.
We didn't have that. We had a car bingo and it's like looking outside and the alphabet. Whoever can get to Z first, seeing different words, wins the game. So where's B? Mm-hmm. Where's B? Look at you. High tech and you're traveling.
I guess, man. Well, yeah, you're more like the Oregon Trail. That's a little low tech. But anyway,
I love it.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. Back to the Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
We are happy to have Kathleen Lindemann here, Director of Adult Evangelization at St. Michael the Archangel Parish in Woodstock, Georgia, talking to us about an important topic that we all should listen to and hear and learn about. It's finding peace in the chaos during this holiday season. So welcome to The Quest, Kathleen.
Good morning. It's good to be back.
We are so glad to have you back. I am still basking in the greatness of our last conversation. It's definitely been a gift for my holiday season.
Oh, praise God. Praise God. It's a busy time.
It is. It is.
It's crunch time.
Yeah.
So what do we do with that? I say stop whatever you're planning on doing in the next couple of days to enhance your decorations. It's time to get serious.
Oh, I like this. Yes. Okay.
So how do we find that chaos? And I kind of feel like a hypocrite because I'm kind of in there. If you saw my dining room table right now, it's chaos.
We're all learning from each other, right? But this is a time to slow down.
Right. And I'm planning to do something right after this. But we have just a few more days until the most important day of the year, where the Word becomes flesh, and the incarnation is miraculous. But are we preparing our, we know we're preparing our homes for all of that, but what are we doing really for our hearts? So I say stop, S-T-O-P, stop. Stop with all the frills. Now it's time to get spiritual. And how can we do that? And one of the fun things that I would do with my kids is I hopefully by now you've got the nativity set up in your home. Okay, so I say we take Joseph and Mary and put them on the opposite side of the house, maybe on the floor. And every day in the next couple of days, have your kids or even you advance them on the journey to the stable.
I love that.
Nice.
Okay. And little kids can get into this too, right? And so you're maybe starting on the opposite end of the house, and maybe you'll journey them up to the first bedroom in the hallway. And then the next day, and we pray for their journey and what that's doing for your kids as well as yourself. And don't think, hey, I don't have any kids now, I can't do that. No. Because what you're doing is you're opening your heart to the imagination of how that was on those days leading up to that most miraculous time. And then once they get to the inn or the creche, we put Mary and Joseph in. And then on Christmas morning, I would have the little baby Jesus wrapped up in a box. And the youngest would unwrap the box, take out the baby Jesus. We would say a prayer before the gifts, the craziness of Santa. Everyone's screaming, Santa came. But that is put on hold for the most important thing that we have to do in our home. And that is to place Jesus in the stable.
Wow.
And then we say a prayer, and then it gets crazy with the gifts. But it's always putting that first.
Yeah.
Intentionally.
Because he's the greatest gift. I mean, when the youngest opens that wonderful box and sees Jesus, just saying it out loud, this is our greatest gift. If it wasn't for Jesus, we wouldn't be here, you know, and really enhancing that.
Yeah. And the other thing that we can do now, too, is by this time, we probably have our trees decorated. There's nothing more you can put on that tree. So at night, on Christmas Eve, let's shut all the lights off in the house. And let's stand by the Christmas tree. And let's say a prayer to the Christmas tree. Now, I brought with me, this is how old this is. You can even tell the typing is so old.
I love it.
And I have a little blessing of the tree. You know, oh God, you've given us this time to prepare for the coming of Jesus. Bless us as we make room in our hearts. Bless this tree, symbol of your everlasting love, which we decorate with lights to honor the one light. He who comes to bring us all to life eternal. And then you have someone turn the tree on.
Oh,
that's wonderful.
And then you're standing all there, and you can sing Silent Night. You can sing O Come, All Ye Faithful. And that's a family activity. Can I tell you one of the fun things I'm going to do today with my grandkids?
Please do. Okay.
So the other day, my little Isaac was sitting on the couch, and I said, Isaac, he's 10, what's one of your favorite traditions? And I really thought he was going to say making meatballs with Mim, which we're doing tomorrow. We're making 100 Polish meatballs.
Wow. I love it.
Oh, yeah. It's a whole production. And
is this for Christmas dinner or something?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. And we've got hats. My husband bought hats this year that said, you know, Lindemann Kitchen. It's just, it's so epic. I was disappointed. He said, didn't say about the meatballs. I'm like, well, what's your tradition? He goes, Mim, I love going to St. Michael's and looking at those nativities on the windowsill.
Yes, yes.
So every year, and, you know, I mentioned this to a woman at work, and she's thinking of doing it with her grandchildren. For the last 6 years, we have big windows in St. Michael's down the aisles. Plug for St. Michael's.
Yeah.
And I take a step stepladder because the kids were, are small and the windowsills, when you first enter, are pretty high.
Yeah.
And we go from windowsill to windowsill. And I let them crawl up and look at all the people bring in nativities and they put it in the windows, right? So we look at everyone and I'll ask them questions. Why do you think there's a pig in that, you know, in that barn? Why do you think, you know, and we talk about how different, and then they give their vote for which one they like the best because they're different every year.
Yes.
But this year, Mim's got a great new addition to what we're going to do. Thank you, Holy Spirit. One of the back windows is a very large window, and I have a nativity set that I inherited from my prayer partner back in Michigan when her mother-in-law died.
Yeah,
she gave me this. It's giant camels, and it's just everything is giant. Even the camels have like little eyelashes.
Wow.
Well, I just didn't have the time to put that particular one up this year because I have my traditional nativity that I put in my house. So I brought the box in the car, and after we look at all of the nativities, I'm going to have them take that nativity out of the box, unwrap every piece, praying that they don't drop it because it's really beautiful. And they're going to decorate that windowsill this year.
Oh my gosh.
I have a big reserve sign. Nobody can take that.
Wow.
So that's what we're going to do this afternoon. And then we usually go out to lunch to Culver's and have a hamburger.
Oh my gosh. I love hearing you say this about bringing a step stool because it is beautiful. People, all the different parishioners bring in their nativity sets. Some of them you can tell they're from different countries. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're beautiful, but what a great idea.
Yeah. And then I also have what we do at our house with the nativity. Yeah. We have a prayer for the nativity.
Oh.
Wow.
And then we'll sing either Away in the Manger, O Little Town of Bethlehem, or Angels We Have Heard on High. And I've got, you know, this is how old this is. Look what this is ancient. This is like 30 years old. But
that is beautiful.
It is so beautiful, right? It's that family tradition that is sacred.
What a gift. And I just love how, I mean, we think about, we're celebrating the arrival of Jesus, but the Holy Family as well. So there is this familial emphasis that sometimes goes unnoticed with Christmas, and the fact that you are spotlighting the importance of the family and the family participation, and especially a prayerful participation, is absolutely pivotal.
And I think one of the things that we talked about before Thanksgiving was to prepare the dinner table for the celebration and the food that we're going to eat. Well, now, ladies and men, it's time to prepare that long prayer that you cut into pieces
and put underneath
the plates for everybody that's coming for the Christmas dinner. Start off and have everybody read one little portion of that prayer as it goes around, finishing with the male of the home, whether it's the husband, the grandfather, you know, whoever that head person is, and then they finish the prayer. I cannot tell you that, I mean, I did it on Thanksgiving. I've been doing this for years. I think if I didn't do it, they'd be, what's going on?
Yes.
Where's the prayer? You know, because everybody, even the little ones who could barely read at the time, you know, when Isaac and Noah were little and they could barely read, they had a sentence or two that was easy to participate. And what that's doing is it's planting all those seeds that, you know, this is a holy time. We maybe to say, bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts which we're about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord, amen, which is a prayer many of us say all the time, every day. But this isn't every day.
Yes.
This is the incarnation. This is Christmas. This is Thanksgiving. This is Easter. There's something beautiful and holy and different about these pivotal times of our lives, these intimate times of our lives, that when we do these traditions, and now I'm saying, let's do it. Do it now today. Get this ready today.
I'm going
to. Don't think about it like on Christmas morning when there's so many distractions. Do it today. Maybe it takes about a half hour, but just take a breath and say, Lord, guide me on what I need to do. Help me to make that one little list and not go overboard from it so that I can receive you in a way that is just so holy this year that really makes a difference.
And be at peace and be open to the grace that is there that wants to be, you know, flow from the Holy Spirit on us.
Absolutely. And what a gift. Thank you, Kathleen. We are super grateful for you reminding us the reason for the season and that some people have the wrong bent, that just Christmas is a day. No. Advent and Christmas are seasons to celebrate and grow in our faith. And in light of that, grow closer to each other. We are incredibly grateful for you reminding us the reason for this season.
Merry Holy Christmas to you, Josh and Allison.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much, Kathleen Lindemann from St. Michael the Archangel, Head of Adult Evangelization. Did I nail that?
You did.
Oh, man. Woo-hoo. Praise the Lord. God is good. They are so lucky to have you there, by the way.
Yes. No, absolutely. Well, some great shows coming up. You know, Teresa Tomeo is going to be on next. And 10 o'clock, More to Life. They're kind of have a different twist today. Christmas party. It's time for our annual on-air Christmas party. So that's going to be interesting to hear them talking about their wonderful topics. And again, don't forget, noon today, have lunch with Father John Ricardo with Christ is the Answer. Always a great spiritual food for us.
Glory be to the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day.